He has his own podcast. What is it, y'all? Get my shit together.
Welcome to the Getting My Act Together podcast for Friday, January 12th, 2024. I hope you've had a great week, and I hope you have a big weekend in store. We are 2 weeks into the new year. Are you still doing what you committed to doing, or are you doing one day at a time what you know makes you feel better about yourself and your journey? Who's that question for? Is it for you or is it for your host? I'm good. I'm concerned about you. I'm not concerned. I'm invested in you. And if you want to share your journey, confer with the podcast. Reach out. yesjoesmith@gmail.com. You know this is a, isn't it strange how language gets twisted? Where I say, I was about to say, this is a safe space for you to share your perspective with me and have me discuss it on the podcast. But safe space is is this a safe space? It seems like it's pejorative in some places, particularly, I suppose, as a stand-up comic where nothing should be safe. Anyway, that's how to get in touch. Thank you for your support, interacting, for leaving reviews on Apple Podcasts, like 15 underscore versus underscore 15. You know that leaving reviews of the podcast, not reviewing the podcast, just leaving a review, is good for the podcast. So, and for sharing and interacting with the IG Reels. Followers are coming along. Like I said on the last podcast, it's very useful for me to commit myself to making jokes out of current events. And I said that I've been tagging them with late night people. And I was like, not that any middle-aged white man hosting a late night talk show is beating down my door for my jokes. But I'd said something about, you know, I'm the Jimmy Fallon guy, kind of, and, you know, maybe Kimmel's more my guy. A lot has happened with my imaginary relationship with Jimmy Kimmel over the last couple days because, first and foremost, he won his beef with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, to no one's surprise, did not acknowledge what he actually did, but did that squirrely thing that I know from being an asshole when I was much younger, where you do something to be like a little bit of a snake in kind of an injurious way, and then someone takes offense to it, and then you say, like, I didn't do that at all. I wasn't doing that. I was not a troll, but I know that, like, I'm going to try to get under your skin. And it's gaslighting is what Aaron Rodgers was doing, right? He's saying that Jimmy Kimmel was affiliated with this world famous sex offender, and what a thing to be famous for, a jet, an island, some famous friends, and the knack. Well, he likes younger women, is what happened. Younger underage kids is what. Anyway, to insinuate that Jimmy Kimmel was involved with that guy, and then when Jimmy Kimmel flipped out, rightfully so, and then so did, I guess, a lot of the national media, and your podcast host thought it was pretty reckless of him to do that. Then in his response, I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers, was, less than accountable. No surprise. That's Aaron Rodgers. What do you expect? I feel like I've been a canary in the coal mine on this guy for so long, even before you knew all the dipshittery about the guy. I told you there's something just not stand up about the guy. There's something less than straightforward. He's a little squirrely. And I bet there are a lot of people in the NFL that like to hit him right in the mouth. So he didn't apologize. He didn't acknowledge. He said, no, I would never say that Jimmy Kimmel was involved with a pedophile if I didn't have concrete evidence. And I'm like, just, it's such childishness. That's who we are, okay? And you remember, can you believe there is a time? And you know, I'm not looking anything up on the internet, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to take us back to a time where someone left that, for the guy that I always rip on, leaving that 4-star review of this podcast. I think he called out Aaron Rodgers as one of his heroes. I'm going to go into the reviews of the podcast on iTunes. The last one is from 15 underscore versus underscore 15. Thank you very much. I'm rolling back. A five-star review from 15, then the Mount Rushmore. This is from Rome 10. Stephen Paddock, Omar, I don't want to say these guys' names because he puts me on the list of some of the great mass shooters of all time. Hey, I appreciate they gave me five stars. That's what I'll say about that. Another one, hey, look at this. Thoughtful and funny. It's also always a joy when you can find a podcast that is both thoughtful and thought-provoking funny. Joe does a great job. I'm just, you know what, this is glory days, dude. Joe does a great job of blending the oftentimes serious and important topics of life with witty and personal anecdotes for an overall enjoyable and relatable listen. Well, thank you very much. Next one, fun show. Joe has the best, blah, blah, blah. Then one from LNC here. This is great. Refreshing real-time comedy. Oh, here's this knucklehead who left a four-star review. 2 years ago. Really enjoyed listening to the podcast. Lots of great information on being a comic and everything that comes with it. Would love to see some variety, he means, with guests or a co-host. And I remember him talking to me backstage, laughing, so I was saying, like, you ever listen to this show by the punter, and he brings on Aaron Rodgers. And how fitting is it that the guy who left an 80% review of this podcast was a fan of Aaron goddamn Rodgers. I knew about this guy a long time ago, Aaron Rodgers. I was telling you about him. In any case, I'm going to take this back to my imaginary relationship with Jimmy Kimmel and Aaron Rodgers, for that matter. Rodgers responds with great squirreliness, does not own what he says, says, oh, no, that was missing. Just, I don't know what he said because I didn't watch it, just like I didn't watch the Golden Globes and Joe Coy bombing his balls off. But what I know is on Wednesday of this week, it was announced that Aaron Rodgers will no longer be appearing on the Pat McAfee show for the rest of the year, which I regard as a victory for Jimmy Kimmel. Rodgers says something. Kimmel responds. Your host then makes a joke and invests himself in making an Instagram reel that got some play. I don't know how many people listened to it or liked it, but also a lot of comments from one guy who I told sounded like an aggrieved Jets fan, and he said, no, Seahawks fan. And I said, maybe that's even worse. Your team hasn't done shit in 10 years. And lo and behold, their coach is out of a job this week as well. So this podcast, it sort of looks into the future, I think. It sees what's around the corner. So Aaron Rodgers, Kimmel wins. Rodgers is going to be deplatformed. I'm sure he's, you know, running around in the woods saying, I've been canceled and exactly what I happened. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you say over and over you're going to be canceled and keep saying wild and reckless shit that, you know, endangers somebody, sooner or later you're going to be silenced because we don't want that. I mean, unless you're the 45th president of the United States of America, then you can just say whatever the fuck you want and, you know, have... You know that we live in the United States of America and now it's common for the homes of judges to be threatened to be blown up? This is the world we're living in. This is Nicaragua in 1983. What's happening to you maniacs out there? What do you care so much, to be honest with you? Is it just gay people? Is that, I have this thing, I probably still have it somewhere. I used to keep it in an office back when I actually had one of those. In my basement office, it said, the majority of the right-wing, extreme right-wing hatred and vitriol is based in religiosity and a fear of a secular world. And you know what, dude? If you grew up that way, I empathize with you. It must be totally scary. And if you listen to the podcast, you know I empathize with you because I don't act like I'm better than anybody like fucking Jimmy Kimmel does. So I see on Wednesday that Kimmel won his game with Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers, like the Jets, lost again. And I, speaking from the heart, went to Zuckerberg Lane and said as much. I made a reel that wasn't funny, but I said, I could, as one of your future writers, Jimmy Kimmel, congratulations on your victory over Aaron Rodgers. He can't slander you so publicly anymore. You won. Now, as someone who doesn't know you nor is not a friend of yours, I implore you, but we both like Howard Stern, I implore you to do something that no one does anymore, seemingly. No one seemingly does anymore, is to take the goddamn high road. When you go on your monologue tonight, Jimmy, don't say anything about Aaron Rodgers. Just be the bigger man. Don't validate it. Like we talked about, this. Don't validate this lunacy. I mean, now that he's off the air, you have to say something when he slanders you like that. But I guess, I mean, I don't know. There is still validating. Like these guys up there saying, I never had any contact with so-and-so, this guy who had the plane and the island and the young girls, the children, legal definition of children. You do kind of validate it. I mean, if you talk to it. I'm not saying he's done it. In any case, I implore Jimmy Kimmel in this Instagram reel, don't say anything about Aaron Rodgers. And there's room to be the bigger person. Take the high road. Model the behavior you want to see from the rest of the world. Whether or not the rest of the world is going to act that way, you don't have to go down into the sewer with them. You can be who you can act how you want to act. I'm trying to raise a 5-year-old daughter. I tell her, you do you. Don't worry about what everyone else does or why they do it. You do what is true to your value system. I also told her a little bit of real world. I showed her a real world example on. So on Monday or Tuesday, we were at the playground, and she just got on a swing and was swinging. She is very proud that she can start herself, you know, from nothing, you know, swinging your legs back and forth. All of a sudden, she gets going. Within 2 minutes, there's a new two kids and one mom there. One of the kids gets a swing, and the other kid is going to have to wait for one of the swings. And the other kid just, like, yelling into the void, but directed at me and my daughter, I don't have a swing. I want one. I want that. I want to turn. And I ignored it because the kid is clearly accustomed to walking around and just shouting out into the void these demands and people responding to them immediately. Well, it's a 2.5 or 3-year-old entity that, you know, well, fuck that kid, you know? And I told my daughter, you know what? We'll take our time with this. We're going to have our swing. But I want you to notice that if, and I didn't do it then, I told her in the car later. I said, you know, if that kid would have come a little more and with a different tone, a little more agreeableness, a little more friendliness, we might have been a little more conscious about, okay, hey, we're going to get off the swing and give you a chance in a few minutes. But because the kid came from such an asshole, not to say the parents are an asshole, but the kid came like an asshole, we're like, we're going to take our time on the swing. Nobody's in any hurry to accommodate this behavior. And the kid kept it up until they didn't. And the behavior is not validated. And everyone lived to fight another day. I make my reel telling Kimmel to take the high road. Be the bigger person you can. I only got one joke in there. And that was that, nobody takes the high road. And in social media, most people take the low road. And that's how we got Marjorie Taylor Greene. And then I close my little reel by saying that the same goes for Taylor Swift. If Joe Coy is bombing his balls off at the Golden Globes, and he makes a silly joke about you in the NFL, throw him a bone, for goodness sakes. You're Taylor Swift. Why do you have to show the whole world that you're disappointed? or you didn't like that. And I'm not coming at her, Swifties. But I'm just, because coming at her is too binary. You know what I mean? It's all or nothing. We're Swifties in this house. Oh, look what you made me do. Look what you made me look. What you just made me do. I'm just saying that she could have acted like the bigger person and given Joe Coy a little ha-ha. Oh, that was funny. Even if it wasn't, it cost you nothing. Just like it cost Jimmy Kimmel nothing to say anything about Aaron, to ignore Aaron Rodgers on his show Wednesday night, that I ended up staying up, watching the monologue. And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. I understand Republican. I understand MAGA people. MAGA people. Listening to me? I get you. I don't think you're all evil. I don't think you're all white supremacists. I think a lot of you are. I don't think you're all evil. I don't think you're all white supremacists. I don't think you hate your neighbor. What I think, what I know, what I feel in my bones watching Jimmy Kimmel's monologue is probably the same for Seth Meyers' monologue. Jimmy Kimmel, I'm led to believe, doesn't say anything about anything, is pure condescension. It was unbelievable. Let's make some more Florida jokes. This is Jimmy Kimmel doing this last night. It's 2024. He's making Florida jokes in his monologue. How fucking lazy can you be? How condescending. And I get it. I get MAGA. Because if you condescend to me and make me feel like you think you're better than me, I'm going to find every reason in the world to hate you. Because you're disrespecting me. You're saying you're more valuable than I am. Fuck you. I want to be very clear here. You know exactly, listener, where I stand, how I vote, what I believe in. What I am saying I empathize with is MAGA man in his car being condescended to by late night talk shows. I'm just thinking of Seth Meyers, who I'd love a writing job at either one of these places, by the way. Seth Meyers or Jimmy Kimmel or Saturday Night Live. It's so condescending. You're not fucking better than anybody. You may think differently. You may think you're more evolved. And I'm not talking about you're not better than a white supremacist. I'm talking about just painting this huge brush with this huge brush of condescension. I get it. It's why I predicted, as my friends will tell you, that Trump was going to win the 2016 election. Because I was out there. I could see the disconnect between the self-congratulatory kind of vibe, destiny, really, of Hillary Clinton, who I don't hate like so many people do. But I could see the disconnect between Hillary and what is happening in the small exit ramp towns in Tennessee, in Kentucky, in Missouri. You know? Anyway, I had no idea that it hit me like late night talk. And you know it's laugh track. You can hear laugh track, but I can't imagine. I mean, I guess if you want to go see Jimmy Kimmel, and I'm going on a small sample and I didn't really watch it. He did not, to my eye, seemingly go into Aaron Rodgers. There was a quick Aaron Rodgers acknowledgement, and that was it. So good on him for more or less taking the high road. But the condescension and the one-sidedness of... I get it. I get it, MAGA man. I get how you would say, fuck NBC, fuck CBS, ABC, whatever your brand is, I'm going to go find something that's at the very least not condescending to me. I'm going to go to somebody like Fox, who's at least just going to tell me what I want to hear. it might not be true. And this is why Fox obviously has $787 billion or million? $787 million of blood on their hands. Rupert Murdoch started this whole goddamn thing. And he has blood on his hands. He started the whole thing in Australia, in England, pitting rich against poor, have against have not, right against left, cop against person who's not a cop. He systematically and intentionally created this division. And it worked. And he won, and he's rich. And they make a TV show about it that you guys, what is a nicer word from jerking off, you guys love. I had no idea Jimmy Kimmel's show was so fucking condescending. And if you were to condescend to me, imagine me, MAGA man. You condescend to me. And apparently jokes about like Aaron Rodgers didn't graduate college. Aaron Rodgers went to community college. And Aaron Rodgers like, well, dude, you went to fucking Arizona State. Which everybody kicks around. And I only kick around because, and I don't kick it around, but it does seem to be the university where you can get a degree anywhere in the world from there about anything. I'm sitting in San Diego and I got a degree in submarine manufacturing from Arizona State campus in Kiev, Ukraine. It's wild. But Arizona State's just trying to get its money. Anyway, name calling, the condescension. If I am you, and what did Hillary call all of them? Deplorables? I'm saying live better. Show the right way. I am an atheist. I reject religion. I think it's nonsense. I think it's horse shit. I think it's laughable that you believe in this. But I'm not going to hit you over the head with that every 5 minutes. Because I don't think I'm better than you because I don't believe in that. And part of that is just fate. So I can't, am I ranting? This is a rant right now. But this is honest. And I'm just a man talking to his listenership. It's fate. I, in part, don't believe in God, or I'm an atheist, or I don't believe in God. What to be an atheist is to be someone who does not believe in supernatural beings, is really what that means, of gods, of deities. Deities are supernatural beings. I just don't believe that, just like you do. And I'm talking to anyone listening, or MAGA man, whoever it is, or deeply religious person who is offended by the condescension of Jimmy Kimmel and Seth Meyers and whoever, and Saturday Night Live, ostensibly liberal, liberal, liberal. Look at me making my points. But it's just fate. It's just fate. What I mean by that is you were born into where you were born, and you were indoctrinated to this thing that's very important and informs your values. I was born into what I was born into. I was born into a mom who grew up with Catholicism, who, when she married my juggling instructor, also was raised in Catholicism, and they had horrible experiences with Catholicism. So religion was never even mentioned in our house. I was free of it, at least officially. I told you I have the residue of all that. All that other stuff, but I say it was destiny because however Jimmy Kimmel, or I'm just using him as an example, whoever condescends to religious people, your so-called enlightenment really didn't require any Herculean effort of your own, unless you are someone who was raised deeply religious and you're on the other side of it and you're like, you know, this is kind of problematic. Let's talk about it. I've seen this. But so many people who come to being irreligious, a religious, atheist, It just happened. You didn't do anything fucking great. So stop acting like you're better, is what I'm saying. I don't know if you've ever felt that level of disrespect being around someone you can tell thinks they're better than you. It would make you act against your own self-interest. I can't believe they vote for these economic policies or they want this guy in there. He's just taking all their money and using them. Well, that, my friends, is better going in open-eyed to that relationship than the alternative, which is someone who is nakedly showing you they don't respect you. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where you're around someone that you can tell does not respect you. Now, there are times where you're around someone who's like, that person thinks they're better than me, and they are, and you're like, hey, you tip your cap. But I'm talking about someone who's not better, in quotation marks, better than you. And I can think of one person in stand-up comedy I've experienced several times in my life who is more of the comedy establishment than I am, further along in their comedy career than I am. They're not funnier than I am. They don't kill as hard as I can. But they're past me. They have late-night TV credits, you know? They're further along. But I'm just thinking of one person who, from the moment I met him to my last interaction with him, it is so clear the smugness and the condescension that he feels for me. Not just me, by the way. I'm not special. He feels it for lots of people. And it's apparent. And he operates in this, he operates in this place of... you know, it's kind of, it's work. It's an evolved place, you know, where we're hyper liberal thinking about what's next. He doesn't live in a world where you make that comment to someone, you have that smug expression, and what happens is someone perceives that disrespect and punches you right in the face. He doesn't live in that world. That's why he is in part like that, because he's never been checked. Because in comedy, we're, you know, it's a workplace. We're all independent contractors. But, you know, someone would check him somewhere, but now he's too far into the system that's not really going to happen, at least with a fist to the face. I'm not advocating for violence, but when you feel disrespected like that, I've known numerous people that like to punch this guy in the face. And I would too. I don't know if I would too. I'm just saying that's that feeling of you don't respect me, and simply because of these artificial hierarchical, it's like, you know, cops, right? Cops want our respect just because you talk a gun in a batch. You know what I mean? Why, it doesn't have to do with cops at all today. I think if you feel so disrespected, condescended to, you'll do anything to injure the person that is doing that to you. And now I'm thinking about people who might feel condescended to by liberal talk show hosts who will make Florida jokes in 2024. I have the pro Florida bit. Okay? If you don't like Florida, you don't like having a good time. Why don't you just ask the teacher for more homework? Can we go to the library after class? No, we're going to be on a cigarette boat with Tropicana models. And they're going to be the ones with the money because they had a Ponzi scheme. Florida is the part of us that we like to pretend doesn't exist. It's like Michigan. Everybody cheats to win in this country. Florida just doesn't try to pretend it's somebody it's not. We're Ponzi schemes. We're ill-gotten gains. We're zoning and building organizations that let you put your fucking high-rise condo in this pile of quicksand. You know why? Because you paid us to look the other way. That's how New York was built. That's how Chicago was built. That's how Seattle is now. All right. I can understand how if you feel condescended to, you're going to do anything to injure that person. Even if it injures you along the way. Because that sting of disrespect, that sting of condescension, taps into something visceral in your DNA. It taps into this, the group is rejecting me. That's I'm being rejected now. You're smirking at me and turning away like that poor dumb bastard. Fuck you. That's how I feel. If I were in a writer's room on the Jimmy Kimmel show, every joke I would write would be rejected. Because I'm not inclined to just make fun of somebody who's not like me. Liberals, I'm talking to you, my people. Nothing's going to happen if you continue to condescend. And as a matter of fact, you're probably going to get shot because those people love guns. How about Jimmy Kimmel? I would want to write jokes that get everybody upset and laughing at the same time. I would want to write jokes on that show that compel people. There's no way, by the way, that audience is laughing as hard as the laugh tracks are. Obviously, that's why they have laugh tracks. But either that they're silenced, they're vetted to make sure that they follow the SNL or the Jimmy Kimmel demographic protocol, and they're all left-leaning at the very least and happy with a good Florida joke. Florida invented the airboat. You know what I'm talking about? It's a pair of water skis with a fan behind you to take you more into the dangerous area. And you're going to make fun of that as being a bunch of rednecks in a swamp? You can, but you know what? Florida doesn't give a shit. They just don't care. Anyway, condescending to anyone is not effective. And it's only going to make people like you less. Jimmy Kimmel, how long has he had that show? Has it always been so one-sided? And then, I just don't understand the culture of celebrity, I guess. Robert Downey Jr. comes on. I watched that for like 5 minutes. These are two men in their 50s acting like they're 14. And I know I'm on the outside. They're like, dude, we're each worth like $500 million. Yeah, it's wild. Maybe you have real conversations. It's all a pantomime. Sorry, I'm rejecting the offer that no one made me to write for the Jimmy Kimmel Show. I'm sorry, I just can't do it. It's so condescending. Yeah. Anyway, my big imaginary relationship that has flitted in and out of my life for the last half of a week. So now what I have to do is I have to come up with some jokes about Nick Saban quitting. What a quitter. Nick Saban quitting, the legendary Nick Saban. Here's how big of a coach, here's how big Alabama football is. I found out Nick Saban was quitting by listening to NPR. That's pretty wild. I didn't know Nick Saban quit yesterday. because I don't go to, you know, sports websites. I was listening. I was having breakfast with my daughter this morning when the San Diego NPR affiliate KPBS reported that's how big Nick Saban is. I heard about it on NPR. Which reminded me that the Auburn coach who lost his job several years ago, Tommy Tuberville, has been the guy blocking these military promotions. Remember that? It was a big thing last year where Tommy Tuberville somehow had the ability, an Auburn coach was playing defense, had the opportunity to block all these significant military promotions. And he was doing this because of religion. Why else? What the fuck is the problem now? Religion. He was doing this because this is why I say every day on this podcast, go outside, talk to your neighbors, get off the internet, stay off of social media. It's a sewer. Can you believe this? Much as I cannot believe that Joe Biden is 81 years old and he has a 70-year-old employee who, it turns out, had prostate cancer surgery and then some complications. I wish him well. Still pretty remarkable that he was able to just fucking ghost his employer. Hey, I know I'm sixth in line to be the president of the United States, but I got a little situation in me bum. Much as I can't believe those ages of those guys, I also cannot get my head around. So it's like, why is Tommy Tuberville protesting? Why is he stopping these military promotions from being made official and allowing the armed services to function as it should? Well, you're not going to believe this, but he's protesting Department of Defense, Pentagon, U.S. government, United States of America policy that, catch your breath here, hold on, sit down, grab someone near you, clutch your pearls. He's protesting this policy by the Department of Defense, Pentagon, U.S. government, that reimburses service members their travel costs if they are compelled to leave their states to get an abortion. Who does that? The United States of America. It's a secret. Come closer. Can you believe that? Well, didn't the Supreme Court that was appointed by Donald Trump, didn't the woman who took the place of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the woman who occupies that chair, didn't they say that we can't have abortion anymore? They did. Yeah, sure. It's just another way to divide the country. But the people want, overwhelmingly, even in the reddest of the red states, your Ohio's, your Kentucky's, even conservative Republican women want the goddamn choice to do with their bodies what they want. Because maybe, and I'm just speculating here and trying to bring together a grand theme of this podcast, maybe they're voicing their displeasure with these policies on reproductive freedom simply because they don't like someone condescending to them and telling them what they can fucking do with their bodies. Overwhelmingly, people in this country favor reproductive rights. You wouldn't know that by reading the newspaper, and I know newspapers don't exist anymore. You wouldn't know that by watching headlines. But Tommy Tuberville knows it. And that's why he's trying to stop these military, or was trying to stop these military promotions. Because the U.S. government, one of the, say what you want about the U.S. government, the U.S. government provides funding, will reimburse travel costs of its employees, its service members, should they have the misfortune to be trapped pregnant in one of these anachronistic states run by good old boys. A note on the language. That's not me saying I'm better than them. I'm not condescending. They're fucking run by good old boys. Okay? Trapped in that state, the U.S. government said, you know what? Here's some money. Travel in this incredibly challenging, emotionally fraught, heavy decision that we only treat like a political football. But we recognize that you might have to travel to another state, a state with perhaps a more, let's say, evolved perspective on this issue. And does that sound like a value judgment? Yes. Sure it does. We understand you might have to travel out of state for this freedom, for this right. And we want to enable that. Isn't that wild? The United States government, the same one that employs the Supreme Court, that worked tirelessly to reduce your reproductive freedoms, lessen your reproductive freedoms, the U.S. government will pay for you to go exercise your right and then come back and get back to work. Get back to the business of building our country. That's stunning. That's what Tommy Tuberville is so mad about. That and the fact he probably is still pissed that he had a team go undefeated and was not in consideration for the national championship. Man. First Joe Biden and in any case, I appreciate you listening. None of what I did today, rant-wise, would ever be a bit or an act because there are no jokes in it. Or maybe you had fun listening to it, I don't know. But I didn't hear a lot of, like, jokes. And if you don't want to get along with the other side, you don't want to get along. Sure feels like neither side wants to get along. It certainly doesn't feel like any Republican wants to get along with any Democrat. I know that. But that's not the case. It's the case on TV. It's the case on social media. But if you walk around with a firearm over your shoulder, people want to connect. That's what they want to do. Don't condescend. I know you don't. Thank you for listening. I feel like I just went 9 innings and and it's not scoreless, but not a lot of runs scored, but and I don't know what that means actually. You're going to get this on Friday morning. My wife and I are going to go see the Dragons reunion show at the Casbah in San Diego this weekend. The Dragons, 20 odd years ago, Dragons are one of the most rock and roll bands that has ever existed. Led by Mario Escovedo of the famous Escovedo family, Pete Escovedo, Alejandro Escovedo, Sheila E., Mario, legendary San Diegan. And the Dragons are playing 2 reunion shows at the Casbah. 20 odd years ago, the Dragons played at my wife and my wedding party. And they played Rolling Stones and Ramones covers. We had a DJ for the first half of it, and then the rock and roll came, and the Dragons began their set with Rocks Off. It wasn't like, hey, we're just going to play Jumpin' Jack Flash. They started their set with Rocks Off by the Rolling Stones. Song 1, Side 1, Exile on Main Street. And they played songs like Bitch, I don't think they played like Sister Morphine. But we're so excited to go see the Dragons in a full circle moment, I suppose. You played our wedding party 20-odd years ago. We're still together. We're back in San Diego. The Dragons are San Diego. And we're going to have a great time. And the girl is going to my mom and juggling instructor's house. So we're going to come home from the Dragons. Take our time. Fall asleep immediately. And not have to worry about anything until we wake up in the morning. On our own. We will not have a pitch invasion. That's what we're doing. I hope you're going to do things that make you feel really good this weekend. And I appreciate you listening to the podcast. And be the bigger man. Take the higher road. I'm telling myself to do that as well. I'll talk to you on Tuesday of next week. Bye.